Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm happy to be here, and again, forgive me, I get toasty in here. So, I'll take the coat off again, hope you don't mind. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Beginning at verse 5. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians," that's a long list, "we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them," and skipping to verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Heavenly Father, once again, I come before your throne. I am nothing, Lord, absolutely not worth anything. But today, I do what millions of others have done, which is open your word to break the bread of life and to feed the people. I'm asking that Jesus would be seen again, as millions of other preachers have seen him appear on the scene, not in a vision, but speaking and alive in the hearts of the people. I'm asking for a move of God. I'm asking for a visitation of the Spirit, not outward, but inward in the heart. Please, Lord, give us a move of God in the heart. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The day of Pentecost. We know the story. I could have read the first four verses. Verse 4, the flashy verse. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." But my topic today is not about the tongues of fire. It's not about the rushing mighty wind. It's not about any of that. The title of my sermon, "And How Hear We Every Man in Our Own Tongue Wherein We Were Born." Again, the great day of Pentecost. This great event occurred. We like to say that the disciples were in the upper room. They were there for a week. After Jesus went back to heaven, they said, well, let's find a place. And they met there. They prayed. They sought God, etc. They didn't know exactly what would happen. Jesus said, don't do anything until you receive the power from God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand what it meant. They spent 7 days praying, and they elected Matthias and etc. But then at 9 o'clock in the morning in the temple, not in the upper room, they had no reason to be in the upper room. It was a feast day, a Jewish feast day, the day of Pentecost. They were good Jews. They were in the temple with all the other Jews. I preached before, I guess a few weeks ago, that 3 times a year, all the Jews had to appear before God. Wherever they happened to live, they had to journey to Jerusalem for Passover, for Pentecost, then the third feast. This was one of those 3 times a year. And I read a long list. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, etc. This long list of people. It does mention Judea. It does. But it mentions Cretes and Arabians. We know that Arabia is a different place. We know that Egypt is, again, it's in the Middle East, but it's a long ways away. Strangers of Rome. Most of these were Jews, but also the strangers of Rome. People that were not Jewish, but for some reason or another, they happened to be in Jerusalem on the great feast day. But then, God moves by His Spirit. A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, etc. Some great event. And it says that they were confounded. They saw the great wind, or heard the great wind. They saw, as it were, fire come from heaven and alight upon the disciples. But it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. But this great multitude, they didn't understand, because it says, are not all these that speak Galileans? It was, must have been obvious now. These rednecks, they're from Galilee, wherever. Must have been obvious. They were not from Rome. They were not from Egypt. These guys are from the woods back here.
Yeah.
May have had some schooling, but certainly no education. The Bible says that. But they were filled with the Spirit. And this great event, the speaking in tongues. But the people, all these other people from Pontus and Asia and whatever, they were confused. They said, we don't understand. And we hear them speak in our own language the wonderful works of God. When Jesus first appeared on the scene, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, you don't have to turn to it, but it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Peter, he stood up with the 11 and he preached Jesus Christ. He talked a little bit about the book of Joel. He talked a little bit about this great event, the rushing mighty wind, the fire, and the speaking in tongues, the miracle of Galileans who spoke, I guess, Aramaic or something like that, and they were speaking Egyptian, and they were speaking all these different languages that they had not learned. A great miracle, to be sure. But you see, everything God does is for a reason. This great host of different people, most of them Jews, they were there again for the feast day, but in a few days they would go back home. And they would take what they saw, the news of what they saw, the news of what they heard, and the message that Peter preached. They would take that message back home. They would tell others, perhaps in their synagogue. They would perhaps tell others on the street, hey, you should have seen what I saw. That was a phenomenal thing, etc. In other words, they took the gospel and the news of this great miracle, the outpouring of the Spirit, they took it out of Jerusalem back home with them. If you have the inclination, please turn with me to Luke chapter 4. We all know this passage. Jesus showed up at the synagogue and stood up and said, I want to read. And they gave him a book, one of the scrolls that happened to be Isaiah. And in verse 18 it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And with that he closed the book. It's interesting, and I won't chase this too far, but it's interesting that the passage he quoted, it goes on a little bit. But he, Christ, the passage talks about Christ. It's a prophecy of Christ. But if he'd have gone on, he would have been speaking about the second coming, the day of vengeance of our God, etc. That's later. Certainly a part of the gospel. And Joel, Peter talked and mentioned Joel. Joel talks about the judgment that's coming.
Yes.
That's the second coming of Christ. Still the same person, Christ. But Jesus came the first time to seek and save that which is lost.
Yes.
In verse 21, he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? But in verse 23, they listened to him quote the scripture. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they were wondering, and that's amazing, that's wonderful. And it says they received what he had to say.
Yes.
But that wasn't good enough. In verse 23, he said, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Verse 24, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow, in other words, a Gentile. In verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, or Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian.
Yes, yes.
Again, another Gentile. And it says they were filled with wrath, they tried to throw him off a cliff, etc. He says, I'm the Messiah, I'm the one, I'm the anointed one. Interestingly, he says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. The word anointed in Greek is krio, or Christ. The word in Hebrew, I guess it's Mashiach, or the Messiah. Christ, Messiah. Christ in Greek, Messiah in Hebrew. It means anointed. Anointed by the Spirit. Smeared on by the Spirit.
Yes.
And he's saying in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me.
Glory,
but notice what it says, to preach the gospel.
Yes, yes.
That's what the anointing is for, is to preach the gospel. But he says, I'm the anointed. I'm the one that was prophesied to come, but I'm going to the Gentiles. And it made them extremely mad.
Thank you, Jesus.
Extremely mad.
Thank God.
Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or Gentile or non-Jew. To the Jew first, but don't forget about the Gentiles.
That's right. Amen.
To the Jew first, but let's not forget about the Gentiles. Everyone in this room is a Gentile. I'm glad that I'm saved. But I believe that there's a greater message here.
Yes.
We, the church, we need to be concerned about the Gentiles. In other words, missions work. Here, you may go across the street, or you may go to Africa, or you may, as I do, go to Haiti, or support missions work, and certainly pray for missions work. Pray for missionaries. Pray for those that they're preaching to. Ask God to help them. And certainly, when given a chance, support them financially. We need to be about the Father's business. And we know that God loves the Gentiles. But going back to Acts chapter 2. In his sermon, and I skipped over that part when I read, but in his sermon, Peter says, "You see all of this? This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And I probably mentioned last time I was here that Joel, it says a number of things, but it talks about the coming judgment. It talks about the outpouring of the Spirit in verse 18, "And now on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." It mentions the outpouring of the Spirit, but it also mentions the coming judgment. And I guess I'll give it away. If I have a chance next time I'm here, I'll preach on the book of Joel. Peter thought it was important, so I think it's important.
Yes.
I'd like to take a look at it. But the apostles, we have evidence in the Word of God that they thought that Christ would return in their lifetime. That was their original thought, that He would be back soon, shortly. I still believe that it's soon. It's been 2,000 years, but I still believe that that's coming. The return of Christ is imminent. It means it will happen. It's a done deal. You can bank on it. Don't know when. Can't tell you when. The Bible says I can't tell you when. I can look at the Middle East and think, things are getting close.
Yes, amen.
And certainly I can look at the last chapter of Isaiah, when it mentions that Israel would all of a sudden in one day come back alive. That's a great prophecy, a great sign from heaven. The fact that the nation of Israel exists is a sign that Christ is almost ready to come. But they thought that Christ would return in their lifetime. And they had the understanding that, hey, we need to go preach the gospel because Christ is coming.
Yes.
Well, it's been 2,000 years, but we need to preach the gospel because Christ is coming. And I'm so thankful that God helps us to do that.
Amen. Yes.
But Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." It says in Acts 2:4 that they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and I understand that. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 doesn't mention speaking in tongues. It doesn't mention the edification of ourself. It says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me."
Amen.
The Spirit of God was given to help us win souls. The power of God to help us to win souls. And we need to be about the Father's business. But if you look at that verse, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Notice what it says. Both in Jerusalem, that's number one. And in all Judea, that's number two. And in Samaria, that's number three. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth, that's number four. There's a progression, it seems. But if you look through the book of Acts, you see that progression carried out. You see that pattern fulfilled and walked out. You see the apostles following that pattern, but you also see the leadership of the Holy Spirit in that pattern. It says in this chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." One sermon, one day, 3,000 souls. That's the kind of preaching I wish I could do. But there's something here I'd like you to get. When I prayed, I asked God for remove the spirit in the heart. That is something that I've spent decades asking God for. Asking God to understand first, and then asking God for. A lot of preachers have a lot of different characteristics to their ministry, and that's great. But one thing that God has shown me over the decades, it's the heart that God wants to reach.
That's right.
Amen. I don't care how many we had in Sunday school. I can have a whole list of things I don't care about. But what I do care about is that God speaks to the heart.
Yes.
I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I don't apologize for that. We have altars here at this church. I would like to see the Lord move upon hearts.
Amen.
And people compelled, because God has spoken to their heart, to come kneel at an altar and say, "Lord, I know about that sin you've been dealing with me, and I'm asking you to forgive me and cleanse me and help me to forsake it." Or whatever the Lord deals with you about. I'm a Pentecostal. I believe in the old-fashioned altar.
Amen. Yes.
Don't apologize for it. But again, there's this pattern. Interestingly enough, in a couple of chapters further on, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, many of them which heard the word of God believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Another great harvest. Another great harvest. And it actually, some of these people were priests and Levites, that they heard the word of God preached and they said, "Well, we've been doing all these things for years," and hey, they talk about Christ and they got saved.
Amen.
Praise God.
All right.
Praise God. I remember I've been to Haiti a few times. I guess I've told you that enough times you're tired of hearing it. But one of the times that I went, this may have been in 2000 or 2004, I forget exactly the date. One of the places we go, and I've been to Port-au-Prince, that's the big city, and everybody's there, and what have you. And that's good, I'm happy to preach in Port-au-Prince, but I also want to go to the regions beyond you, it says.
Yes.
I want to go up in the woods. We went to Kinskoff at one point, and it's beautiful there. It's accessible from Port-au-Prince, I suppose. We took a bus as far as we could go, then they went off. They dropped us off, and then we walked 3 or 4 miles and up the mountain and what have you. And that's great. But we also go, if you look at the map of Haiti, obviously half of the map is another country, Dominican Republic. But if you look at Haiti itself, it's shaped, I guess, kind of like a horseshoe laid on its side. I went to the southern tip all the way to the end. And we actually went into town one day to buy some stuff, I suppose. And so I've been to the absolute end of the southern tip of the island. But we have a couple of churches on the mountain. And actually, if you kind of go over the crest of one of the mountains, you can see the Caribbean. We have two churches. We fly out to Jeremy. I guess it's about a 45-minute flight. And then we hop some kind of local transportation, which is essentially a pickup truck with, I guess you can call it a doghouse on the back. And there are benches, and there's a little, like I said, roof to keep the rain off. And you hop into the back of that, and it's crammed full of people. And we go about an hour and a half down a washboard road and cliffs and rivers and all of this stuff.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.